Imagine a world where the most consequential decisions affecting your life aren't made in Washington, London, or Paris, but in Beijing, Moscow, Tehran, and Delhi. This isn't science fiction, it's our present reality. While Western media remains fixated on familiar capitals, the economic and political center of gravity has been steadily moving eastward along the ancient trade routes once known as the Silk Roads. The evidence surrounds us. Chinese investors buying Premier League football clubs, Gulf states constructing world-class museums, and Eastern billionaires acquiring Western luxury brands and iconic properties. This massive power shift isn't just changing geopolitics, it's transforming everything from where your smartphone is designed to which countries dictate global environmental policies. China's economic transformation has been remarkable, with its GDP growing from 39% of America's in 2001 to surpassing it by 2016. Over 800 million Chinese citizens have risen above poverty since the 1980s, perhaps history's greatest reduction in human suffering. This wealth is reshaping global markets. Chinese owners now control French vineyards. Pilots command salaries of $750,000 annually due to shortages. And Chinese tourists spend $250 billion abroad yearly, double American spending. The growth extends across Asia. Pakistan has become the world's fastest-growing retail market, while India's middle class expanded from 2 million households in 1990 to 50 million by 2014. Luxury brands are responding rapidly, Prada opening 7 stores in Xi'an alone, and Starbucks planning a new Chinese location every 15 hours through 2021. Even policy changes like China ending its one-child policy immediately impact global markets, with baby product companies' shares rising while condom manufacturers declined. As Dolce & Gabbana learned, cultural missteps in this market can threaten hundreds of millions in revenue. This remarkable growth brings significant challenges. Bangalore faces such severe water shortages that officials are preparing evacuation plans for when taps run dry, possibly by 2025. Similar crises threaten Chennai, Jakarta, and other booming Asian cities. Climate change further imperils habitability, from Gulf states with 50°C summers to coastal megacities facing rising seas. The environmental toll is devastating. The Aral Sea has shrunk to just 10% of its original size, triggering health crises and destroying communities. Salt storms from the dried seabed damage crops across Central Asia. Transboundary water management has become contentious as rivers cross multiple nations with competing interests. The Urumqi Glacier will lose 80% of its ice volume within 3 decades, threatening water security for millions. Political control remains equally challenging. Saudi Arabia's 2017 reforms were initially celebrated, but later overshadowed by the arrest of women activists who had advocated for these very changes. The 2018 murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi revealed the stark contrast between reform rhetoric and authoritarian reality. Throughout the region, governments struggle to balance change with control, affecting billions of people. In 2013, President Xi Jinping announced a vision to revitalize the ancient Silk Roads through an economic belt connecting Asia to Europe. Unlike American initiatives that remained mostly talk, China's Belt and Road Initiative delivered substantial funding. By mid-2015, the China Development Bank had reserved $890 billion for 900 projects, while the Export-Import Bank financed over 1,000 projects across 49 countries. The initiative now encompasses more than 80 countries with 4.4 billion people, 63% of world population, representing $21 trillion in economic output. Flagship investments include the $60 billion China-Pakistan Economic Corridor, featuring power plants, wind farms, and industrial parks, projected to reach $100 billion by 2030. While rail connections to Europe remain more symbolic than economically viable, they demonstrate China's commitment to reshaping global infrastructure. This initiative serves 3 key purposes: securing China's resource needs, utilizing excess industrial capacity during China's transition to a service economy, and addressing security concerns in Western provinces like Xinjiang. With Asia requiring over $22.6 trillion in infrastructure through 2030, China views these investments as both opportunity and necessity. Critics view the Belt and Road Initiative skeptically, citing environmental damage, corruption risks, and debt traps. Harvard's Joseph Nye questions whether it's more public relations smoke than investment fire, while Chinese officials themselves admit significant investment losses across multiple countries. Former U.S. Secretary Tillerson contrasted America's governance approach with China's opaque contracts, predatory loan practices, and corrupt deals. Debt concerns are substantial. Kenya's debt may rise from 40% to nearly 60% of GDP from Chinese projects. In 2011, Tajikistan ceded territory to China over unpayable debts. The $7 billion Kunming-Vientiane Railway represents over 60% of Laos's GDP, while Angola's Chinese debt averages $754 per citizen in a country with $6,200 annual income. India remains particularly alarmed, boycotting the 2017 Beijing Forum and opposing Chinese projects in disputed Kashmir. The China-Pakistan Economic Corridor especially concerns India for running through contested territory and potentially boosting Pakistan's GDP by 8% annually. These tensions demonstrate how infrastructure development has become inseparable from geopolitical competition. Despite American anxiety about decline, today's world is objectively better than the past by nearly every measure, from life expectancy to literacy rates. Yet adjusting to change remains difficult, particularly as iconic American businesses like General Electric's appliance division are sold to foreign buyers. The Freedom Tower in New York symbolically features marble from Italian quarries now owned by the Bin Laden family. Donald Trump's presidential campaign demonized China, claiming they want to take your throat out and had perpetrated the greatest theft in history. This rhetoric resonated with voters who felt left behind by globalization. American anxiety deepened. In 2018, Washington revoked long-term visas for Chinese citizens in sensitive sectors and considered banning Chinese students, with Trump reportedly claiming almost every student that comes over to this country from China is a spy. Henry Kissinger noted that China presents a fundamental challenge to American strategy that the U.S. is ill-equipped to handle because we don't understand their history and culture. Official documents portray China as attempting to erode American security and seeking to shape a world antithetical to U.S. values. We are already living in the Asian century. The shift of global GDP from Western to Eastern economies has been breathtaking in scale and speed. The West risks irrelevance, often creating more problems than it solves through interventions or imposing growth-limiting restrictions. The era of Western world shaping is over, though many policymakers haven't fully registered this reality. American officials label China, Russia, and Iran as forces of instability while simultaneously pursuing backroom deals with these same powers. Relations with China have particularly deteriorated, with Defense Secretary Shanahan declaring America's focus should be China, China, China. Some American strategists now model potential conventional warfare scenarios between these powers. As a Chinese king observed 2,500 years ago, a talent for following the ways of yesterday is not sufficient to improve the world of today. The Silk Roads are rising again, and their development will shape our collective future. The question isn't whether this transformation will happen, but how we'll adapt to a world where power flows along these ancient pathways once more.